Hey, it's Sam. Welcome back to the show. This is actually a throwback, a best of podcast. Check this out. I was going through my computer and found some old podcasts from back in the day. I mean, way back in the day. And I'll drip these out throughout the coming weeks and months. But there's one here. I'm going to start. This is about an hour-long podcast I did with Les Brown, one of my idols. I mean, if you don't know Les, just go to YouTube, type in Les Brown, and just sit back and enjoy the show on all the videos. He's spoken to millions and millions and millions of people. And, I mean, he's an idol. He's an icon in the speaker industry. Check him out. He's amazing. Just absorb as much of his stuff as you can. So anyway, Les contacted me back in the summer of 2010. This was around the 4th of July. And he had heard about the podcast and wanted to come on the show. And I was like, okay, who's playing a joke? Is this one of my buddies? And I didn't really believe it was really Les as I'm talking on my cell phone. And sure enough, it was. This was 8 years ago. And it's still great content. The message is still as relevant today as it was then, as it will be 20 years from now. There's going to be reference to a couple things you need to know up front. There's going to be reference to a live event that he had that month in July of 2010 that he actually gave me a VIP ticket to the event, went out there for a few days, met him, got a video testimonial from him that I use in all my speeches and things like that. And also, the quality of the audio isn't really great because we used, at the time, I think it was freeconferencecall.com or Instant Teleseminar, one of those teleseminar services. And the quality of the audio isn't what you've come to expect from the podcast, but please, it doesn't even, you'll still hear Les crystal clear and you'll hear the message. And man, just enjoy the show. So sit back, relax. This was Dateline July of 2010. My friend, my buddy, and somebody I really look up to as a speaker and just a great human being, Mr. Leslie Brown. Here you go. Enjoy.
Fired up.
Les Brown, his story is unbelievable. His ability to motivate, to empower, to inspire people from all walks of life, from all around the world over the past 40-plus years is just amazing. Les, you know, I have been following you for quite some time. You and I had the opportunity to meet in Orlando last year. You were just passing through. I happened to be in the restaurant, and you were holding a live event in that hotel in Orlando. And I still, to this day, I keep that picture on my desktop. I think I emailed it to you over the weekend, man, and it's just been a great honor.
Yes, you did. I saw it, and I remembered it. So you have manifested me once again.
How about that? How about
yes.
that? So I just wanted to thank you so much. I know you're one busy guy, and I know you are traveling, you're speaking, you're out there touching people's lives all around the world. Manny Brown's baby boy, we get an opportunity to get him live here for 60 minutes tonight. Les, thank you so much, and welcome into the Everyday Saturday community, my friend.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and thank you for the commitment that you made to your daughter that has transformed millions of people's lives, many people that you don't even know that you have reached and touched their hearts and their spirits because of that experience and how it transformed you. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to share with those that are listening my story, but most importantly, not me as a speaker, but me as a coach, and how they could take their story, their experiences, the knowledge they have in their heads right now, and make a difference in their lives, their family, and their community.
And that really is the truth, Les. I mean, you teach people, and you have taught people for many, many years how to take their story and turn it into a business, turn it into a movement. I mean, create something so incredibly special from the power of their own experience, from their life experience. And the question I get a lot, and I want to throw this out to you right away, because there's a lot of people out there who feel, you know what, I'm not Les Brown. You know, I wasn't born, you know, in Liberty City, low-income section, and I don't have this great story where I came from absolutely nothing and empowered the world, and I didn't have my own PBS special, and I haven't spoken on stages. You're talking about Les Brown, man. I can't compete with somebody like that. How does somebody get their story and get it, actually feel the power within themselves? Les, how do you teach people to understand that they are great and they do have a $1 million story to share?
Well, first of all, Sam, you don't even have to have a story. Have you ever heard the name Marianne Williamson?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Marianne Williamson, she wrote a book called The Return to Love. That book was about another book called A Course in Miracles. She told a story about that book. She read that book. That book changed her life. The woman who wrote that book name was Helen, and Helen died. She was agnostic. She was the channel for that book. She never took credit and ownership of the book. But Marianne Williamson read that book, and it so transformed her life. She went around the world talking about The Course in Miracles, and she would say, according to The Course in Miracles, and she would make a point. And so that's not even a story. People who have heard of Marianne Williamson or heard her speak, they don't even know Marianne Williamson's story. So you don't even have to have a story. You can tell someone else's story. I can tell your story. I've done that already. I talked to some people today. I'm in San Diego. And I said, you know, I talked to a man who, when we spoke, and he told me about an experience that he had with his daughter, because she asked him, is today Saturday? And he said, why you ask me this? And she's only 2 years old. How many know, you know, when you say, think about Art Linkletter, he said, children say the darndest things. But yeah. How many of you know that children can ask you some things that can stun you? And she asked him that question because he stayed home on Saturday more often than he did other days, and she wanted to know, was he going to be at home? And he decided on that day that he was going to restructure his life to accommodate his family, put his family first, stay at home, and spend more time with his children and his family. How many of you know that you can have some life transforming moments in your life? And people identify with that. Then I went on to tell the story. I could pivot off your story, and that's a heartwarming story, and I'm just running through it right now. But when I tell that story, and one of the keys to being a master storyteller, and there's several, but I'm going to just deal with some basics right now with the limited time we have and give people an opportunity to ask questions, is that you don't want to just tell the story. You want to experience the story as you're delivering the story strategically so that people would be able to get it. And you want to be flexible and versatile in how you deliver the story so that people take ownership of the story and see themselves in the story, because the story has no power in and of itself. So if anybody's listening, if you are an entrepreneur, and I'm not talking about public speaking, you can use this in public speaking, but, and by the way, people say this is the number one fear that people have in the world. If you speak outside of your home, you're a public speaker. Okay, so that kills that. Okay, so number one, that.
That's right.
So if you are communicating with people on the telephone, one-on-one, or in person, let me share something with you. I created an opportunity for a young man that I talked to a person that I'm going to create the same opportunity for you. Now, had he presented himself well in the conversation, now I can coach you on how to do it. But he's not, that gentleman is not coachable at this point in time. So I couldn't tell him what to do and how to approach the conversation of the person that I introduced him to that could have, Sam, could have helped him to earn an extra $1 million before the end of the year. Now, because he wasn't coachable, and most people are not, because of that, he lost out. He didn't close the deal. I'd already closed it for him. And he lost the opportunity to build a relationship with this person. And here's why. He did not understand the value that when you are engaged in communication, you want to create an experience with the person that's listening to you on the end of the phone so that they will, as a result of your speaking to them, develop a sense of confidence and trust in you. Because people do business with who they know, like, and trust. And because of how he started the conversation off, when I introduced him, he lost the business from the onset. And he didn't even know. He didn't even realize it. And I listened, and I said, wow. So what I want to do for those that are listening is show how you can communicate your way to wealth in some very basic, simple things. And there's some basic things I'll share with you. But I also welcome the calls that people might have. But to the answer that the question that you asked, you don't have to have a down-and-out story. Your story is not a down-and-out story. Your story is a story, a moment with you and your daughter that you could have ignored. But you decided, no, I'm going to listen to my daughter, and I'm going to restructure my life to take into account that I can't replace the time and the years that I spend with my child. Now, let's say, for instance, taking your story, I was speaking to a sales organization or healthcare organization, but let's take sales. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, I want you to think about your goals and dreams that you want to achieve right now. And whatever they are, I want you to expand those goals and dreams. I found that most people fail in life not because they aim too high and miss, but most people are just like I was. They aim too low and hit.
Yeah.
But I, as you think about your goals and dreams, I want to share something with you. I have a friend named Sam Crawley. And Sam and his business was gone quite often from home. And his two-year-old daughter, every time he would pick her up, she would ask him, "Daddy, is today Saturday?" And he said no. And he thought she was asking that question because as a little girl, being 2 years old, she really didn't know what day it was. Every day was the same. But he found out through probing questions that the reason that she was asking that question, she wanted every day to be Saturday because she wanted to be with her father. Ladies and gentlemen, as I talk to you right now, how many of you have a goal of just spending more time with your family members and friends and doing things that you want to do, owning your life, taking control of your destiny? How many of you want to do that? Good. Just say it with me right now. It's possible. And on that day, as Sam looked at his daughter and he let her gently down to the floor, he felt that I don't have to live the way that my life is right now, that I don't have to continue to leave my daughter and my wife and have them wondering when will he come home, and boy, I wish the day was Saturday. He decided on that day, I'm taking control of my life. You know, one of the things as you look at your goals and dreams in life and whatever things that you're thinking about, take responsibility to make it happen, because that's what happened with Sam on that day. George Bernard Shaw said that people that make it in this life, they look around for the circumstances that they want, and they, if they don't find them, they create them. And Sam looked at his life, and he decided to create a life that would allow him to spend more time with his family. Because at the end of the day, Sam said to himself, at some level, that we were not born to work for a living, but to live our making, and living our making will make our living. And Sam loved helping people. So Sam designed a life, rather than being a volunteer victim, Sam decided to design a life that would allow him to do that which he was born to do, to help and to serve people and to spend time with the people that he loved. And I say to you, what's possible for one is possible for all. If Sam can do it, then you can do it, and I can do it. Let us say together, it's necessary. Yes. See, Sam decided that this was non-negotiable. Sam didn't say, I will try and be available to my children and to my wife. Sam didn't say, I'm going to give it a good shot. Sam said, it's necessary. I have got to do it. The only time that you ever make anything happen in life, ladies and gentlemen, you have to make the kind of commitment that Sam made. And you want to understand the difference between commitment and involvement. The next time you have bacon and eggs, look at it. The chicken was involved, but the pig was committed. He had to give it all up. And so Sam decided to give it all up. A.L. Williams said, all you can do is all you can do, and all you can do is enough. But make sure you can do all you can do. And let me share something with you, ladies and gentlemen. It wasn't easy. You have goals and dreams. Think it not strange that you face the fiery furnaces of this world, as my favorite book says. You will have tribulations. Sam fell on some tough times. Life caught him on the blind side. Murphy's Law showed up. You're asking, who's Murphy? Don't worry. He's waiting for you after this phone call is over. Murphy's Law said if anything can go wrong, it will, and at the worst possible moment. Sam went through a living hell, but he understood the words of Henry David Thoreau said, if you're going through hell, don't stop. Keep moving. Sam kept moving. So I could just give your story, and I could, you know, so I could teach people how to tell your story, Sam. But you see, all of the things, the layers that I put in there, the examples, the quotes, all of those things are things that help to establish credibility, create a level of connectedness and identification and rapport with the audience. And so when you think about your story, The reason that most people fail is because, like my friend I had on the phone, they don't know that they don't know, and they think they know, and also they tell their speech and they get compliments from untrained eyes who won't write them a check. Okay?
Yeah,
people,
that's right.
You know, I've given speeches where I knew I sucked, and people say, oh, you were real good. And they won't tell you to your face, but after you go, they say, boy, he was crappy. We'll never bring him back again. Okay? So one of the key things is, no, you don't have to have a down-and-out story. That's number one. But the other thing is, I suggest people who are serious and want to grow their business, or if they're involved in recruiting people, want to be able to attract more people to their business, recruit more people, or retain the people that they have, or attract business partners or investors, it's very important, I feel, that you get coaching. Mike Williams has been my coach now for 40 years. Why is it important that you get coaching? Because you can't see the picture when you're in the frame. So it's very important that you find someone who's done what it is you want to do and performing at the level that you want to perform at, and develop a strategic relationship and get some coaching from that person so that you can get a breakthrough and go to the next level. What's the next question, please?
Well, I'll tell you, you have unbelievable emotion. I mean, that's obvious. I mean, you bring it. You bring it. You just absolutely bring it. And I remember the very first speech. I want to ask you this question. Do you remember the very first time you gave a public speech? And just hold that thought, because the first time I did, I was asked to go speak at a country club in Cincinnati where we had lived for 13 years. And I thought I was speaking to all of the members, and the board was going to be there, and I thought they were bringing in different businesses. I didn't know until I dressed in my best suit, Les, and I had a film crew there. I mean, I wanted to make this into like a media kit. It was one of my very first speeches ever, and I just wanted to bring it home. What I found was, when they introduced me, I was speaking to the maintenance crew and the grounds crew, and nobody spoke English. Okay? So everybody, and not only that, what made it worse, Les, is it was a mandatory annual meeting that everybody must show up, or they got a demerit, or they got suspended, or so everybody had to be there. Nobody wanted to be there, and nobody spoke English, right? So
wow.
I got up, and I said, I got a couple choices to make. Either I just wilt like a flower in the dead heat and just say, woe is me, I can't believe it. I'm dressed like I'm going to my senior prom, okay? I mean, I had everything except the corsage on at the time. And so I said, I'm just going to bring it, man. I'm going to tell the Everyday Saturday story, and whatever that language is they're listening to, would you know, after 60 minutes, man, I got a standing ovation, and it was unbelievable. There was tears flowing. There was hugs everywhere. And it's that emotion that you give in the speech to somebody that they don't need to necessarily know the exact language they're speaking. They can read it in your body language. They can hear it in the tone, the inflection of your voice. So it was unbelievable, and it's everything that you just talked about, is just being able to connect with the individual on an emotional level. So I want to take you back, Les. Do you remember the very first time that you had to give up and give a speech, whether you were getting paid for it or the audience was there? Do you remember that time?
Absolutely. I spoke at East High School in Columbus, Ohio. I remember it just like it took place yesterday. I was so nervous I went to the bathroom 7 times. I'm still nervous to this day. I'm one of the few speakers that I never go into the green room or sit in the dressing room. I'm always out in the audience shaking hands, because that's how I work my nervousness and get it under control. And, Sam, I've been speaking for 40 years, so I'm still nervous. I spoke today, and I use that nervousness to take me to another level. One of the things that we do in the training that we do, and that will set speakers apart from other speakers, we teach you how to speak from the heart. The reason that we don't have more speakers that are known nationally and internationally, it's just a handful, but they're going to be even more, because I'm training a slew of speakers right now, and I have at least 7 to 8 of them that can go with me toe-to-toe any given night. And all of them are going to be better than I am. If you have any skill as a coach, when you give a student everything you have plus what they have, they're going to all be better than you, and that's what it is about. And I told them, I will become their student, and I'll watch them and study them, and then I'll come back, and the old man will take them out. I tell them, a young broom sweep clean, but old broom know where to go. So one of the key things when you're speaking to an audience, there are three things that an audience or a customer or clients are listening for when you're communicating with them. Who are you? And this is worth writing down. Who are you? What do you have? And why should I care? One of the things you notice, Toastmasters, I think, is an incredible program, and they are around the world, and they produce the best speakers on the planet. But there's not one Toastmaster International World Champion that you can call their name right now. And the reason is that the Toastmasters champions don't know the secret to how do you create a national and international platform. That's what I discovered how to do, and that's what I teach people how to do. And I'm going to give your listeners right now, the members of your club, the key to how you do that. And that is developing a signature message. When people hear you, they're asking three questions. Who are you? What do you have? And why should I care? When Toastmasters presenters or other motivational speakers that I've seen present, they have content-driven presentations that after you hear them, you say, boy, that was really good. And people leave there talking about the speech. But when people talk about Sam Crawley, they talk about why they know Sam Crawley and what attracted them to Sam Crawley, and that is Sam Crawley's signature speech, the experience that Sam Crawley had with his two-year-old daughter that changed his life. They leave your presence feeling better about themselves, but talking specifically about you and your core story. When people hear the name Les Brown, they know about how I became a disc jockey and that you got to be hungry. And so that story helped me to earn the ability to speak to corporations around the world, to touch millions of lives, to have a nationally syndicated talk show, to produce 8 specials for public television, to write 3 books, Up Thoughts for Down Times, Live Your Dreams, It's Not Over Till You Win, and to earn over $60 million. And I have no college education. I was born in an abandoned building on a floor in a poor section of Miami, Florida, with a twin brother. We were adopted by Mrs. Mamie Brown. She was 46, had a third-grade education, a domestic worker in Miami Beach. We ate the food left over from the families that Mama cooked for. These were very kind and generous people. We wore the hand-me-down clothes of the children that Mama kept. If they were too small, Mama could sew. She would let them out. If they're too large, she could take them in. And coming up in that poverty and being labeled, when I was in the fifth grade, I was labeled educable, mentally retarded, put back from the fifth grade to the fourth grade. I failed again when I was in the eighth grade. I have no college training. But a gentleman I met named Mr. Leroy Washington, I was with him yesterday in Miami. He's in his 80s now. He's blind from glaucoma. I was in his class, Sam, and he said, young man, go to the board and work this problem out for me. And I said, I can't do that, sir. And he said, why not? I said, I'm not one of your students. And the other students started laughing. They said, he's DT. That's Leslie. That's not Wesley. He's a twin. Wesley is the smart twin. He said, well, what does DT stand for? And they said, he's the dumb twin. And I said, yes, sir, I am. I'm educable, mentally retarded. And when they erupted in laughter, he came from behind his desk and he looked at me. He pointed at me and he said, don't ever say that again. Someone's opinion of you does not have to become your reality. And, Sam, that was a turning point in my life. On one hand, I was humiliated, but on the other hand, I was liberated because he looked at me with the eyes of Goethe, who said, look at a man the way that he is, he only becomes worse. But look at him as if he were what he could be, then he becomes what he should be. And he told me 3 things that was necessary to become successful in life. One of them you're doing right now, and that is practice the principle of OQP. What you're doing with this, the people that's on this call, you have created a community of achievement-driven people who will listen to you, who come to your seminars and workshops, who are part of these coaching calls, And because of the experience, Oliver Wendell Holmes said that once a man or woman's mind has been expanded with an idea, concept, or experience, it can never be satisfied to going back to where it was. And by being a part of this community of achievers of Everyday Saturday, you're transforming lives. The other thing that he said was, Mr. Brown, develop your mind. Be ye not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You don't get in life what you want, you get in life what you are. Earl Nightingale said, all of us are self-made, but only the successful will admit it. And he said, and the next thing, Mr. Brown, which is the most powerful weapon you can ever use, he said, develop your communication skills, because once you open your mouth, you tell the world who you are. And so the reason that it's important for you to learn how to tell the story about your business, the story behind your product, the story behind your services, the story about your life, is because we are wired for stories. You know, how we live our lives is a result of the story we believe about ourselves. The most powerful position in the world, President of the United States, it boiled down to two stories. John McCain, an honorable man, a five-year prisoner of war, Vietnam veteran. President Barack Obama, raised on the south side of Chicago in a single-family household, a community activist on the south side of Chicago. It boiled down to two stories based upon how they delivered the stories, determined the number of votes that were cast for them, and the checks that were written for the campaigns and the volunteers that were attracted to the campaign. So our businesses have stories. Mary Kay had a story. Lee Iacocca brought Chrysler back from financial ruin, telling the story about the new Chrysler. So our ability to strategically tell our story about our business, our services, our mission, the things that we care about, plays a major role in how successful we become. Am I making sense of that?
A ton of sense. Absolutely. Life comes to us through a story, right? And
yes.
You said right at the beginning of the call that you don't necessarily have to have an Oscar-winning story yourself yet. You can certainly tell somebody else's and be successful with that. And one of the we're getting a lot of questions coming in via the webcast, Les, that are right around this topic as well. And the one that we've had from a few different individuals is, how do I find my passion? But I don't even know what I'm passionate about. I'm 53 years old. One gentleman has on here. One lady says I'm 43 years old. I still do not even know what I'm passionate about, and I'm afraid I'm going to go to death's door, never realizing what my passion was.
Well, first of all, that is absolutely not true that they don't know. They do know, and they just have not acknowledged it as yet. But let me suggest two things for them. Number one, what is it that you love to do that if money didn't matter, that you can do 7 days a week, if you had a choice to doing something earning money, what would you do if you had a choice? And one of the things that I suggest, like, I believe, Sam, that we were not born to work for a living, but to live our making, and living our making will make our living. We're living in an incredible time. Let's say somebody listening that you say, well, I love animals, or I love to travel, or I love hanging doors. There is nothing anybody on this call can say that they love to do that right now that we can't help them learn how to become financially independent doing. I don't care what it is. If it's having sex, somebody will pay for it. Everything. Listen, here's why most people are stuck, Sam. Number one, most people don't know what they have going for them. This Les Brown that you now hear, for 14 years, Sam, this voice was silence because I didn't know what I had going for me. There were people, Sam, that were born to hear my voice. The reason I'm going to help you, Sam, there are people who are born to hear your voice. They will only hear your voice. not my voice, they hear yours, okay? Some people hear both of us, but there are some people that's your assignment. And part of my assignment is to help individuals like yourself get exposed. So most people don't know what they have going for them. I disqualified myself. I don't have a college education. I would go see Zig Ziglar and the late Dr. Norman Vincent Peale and Tony Robbins, and I think Tony is number one on the planet, he and Zig Ziglar, both of them. And I would sit in the audience, and I would see these guys, and my heart would say, I could do that. I love to help people. But by the time I got to the parking lot, my mind would ask, how? And so because I didn't know what I had going for me, for 14 years, I stopped myself. Les Brown, you don't have a college education. Les Brown, you were adopted. Les Brown, you were born in an abandoned building on the floor. Les Brown, you were labeled educable mental retarded. I saw a movie once, came in the middle of it, called Magnolia with Tom Cruise. And there was a line in the center of the movie that I'll never forget. And it said, we might be through with our past, but our past is not through with us. The second reason that most people are stuck is that most people, those people that just text you or email you, they don't know how to make money with their talents, their abilities, their skills, their knowledge, and their education. And the third reason that people are stuck is not only because they don't know what they have going for them and they don't know how to make money with what they have going for them, but most people don't know how to gain access to the people that will pay them for what they know. Those are the three categories that cause most people to be stuck. And so the seminar that I invited you to, that's what we answer. That's what we address. When you think about it, everybody on this phone, I don't even know them, Sam, but here's what I know about them. That as much as they have chosen to be on this phone, they were chosen to be on this phone. As much as you have chosen to that day to pay attention to what your daughter said to you, you were chosen for this work. You were born for this work. You were chosen one out of 400 million sperm. You have greatness within you. And all of us, Sam, have greatness within us. But greatness, it's a choice. It's not our destiny. And one of the most pervasive addictions we have in the world, beyond crack and cocaine and alcohol, is the addiction to comfort. I didn't do what I'm doing now because it was uncomfortable. Learning how to be comfortable around people with college educations and not feeling inferior to them. It was uncomfortable learning how to speak to corporations and to understand and to study the culture, where I now had to transform my thinking from working for the Miami Sanitation Department, where I made $10 an hour, to increase my value, to die to who I was then, to give birth to this person you hear on the phone now, to earn $30,000 an hour. Now, I don't tell you this to impress you, but to impress upon you that even though all of us have done things that we are proud of, that we have infinitely more we can do that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor is it in the heart of mankind what God has in store for us. But because we are born in a world and live in a world where we are told more about our limitations rather than our potential, that most of us go through life as I did for my first 42 years, living my fears rather than living my faith. Zig Ziglar says, fear, false evidence appearing real, faith, finding answers in the heart. I went to my head, and my head said, Les Brown, you can't do that. You're not good enough. And that stopped me dead in my tracks for 14 years.
Man, you're dead on, Les. I mean, that was awesome. And I think, first of all, let me just do a station identification. We're about halfway, 30 minutes into the call. Sam Crowley
it's
on the line.
It's been 30 minutes already? I am so sorry. I wish I could talk to the – oh, let me just – I want to wrap it on to those people is, one, here's how you can find your passion. What is it that people compliment you on? I've had people for years say, oh, Les, you make people laugh. You make people feel good. You are funny, man. You inspire people. You've got personality, okay? What is it that people compliment you on? The other thing is experiment and find out what fits for you. I used to be a disc jockey. I used to be a state legislator. I used to be a photographer. I used to be the master of ceremonies. I used to book concerts. Life is about experimenting and finding out what is it that you have in you. I'm an author. I'm a speech coach. I'm a speaker. I used to have a television show, a nationally syndicated talk show. So you've got to experiment with life. Live full, die empty. Yes.
Amen. Amen. Les, what, before we go further in the call, you have an event out in L.A. We're going to get back at it in just a second, but I would like to give everybody an opportunity. We have a couple hundred people on the line right now. We have 70,000 podcast subscribers who are going to hear this message as well. I want to give people an opportunity to connect with you, and we'll at the end of the call, we'll give them the opportunity as well. Do you have a website where people can go to, Les?
Yes, they go to lesbrown.com.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm teaching people how to earn 6 to 7 figures with the knowledge and information they already have in their heads, how to use their skills and their knowledge and their gifts and abilities in this new economy to create financial independence for themselves, to fire their boss, to have more time for their family members and friends, to make a greater impact with their lives, their services, their products, and the things they feel passionate about.
You know, Les, that's a great point about firing your boss, because I know you speak to a lot of corporations as well. So how do you do that tap dance on the head of the needle where you empower people to go for their dream, but you're still talking to employees? I mean, these employers to bring you
I don't have
to
do a tap dance. One of the things that I want everybody listening to write this down that gave me a competitive advantage in this industry. The Dale Carnegie course controls the philosophy and the thinking of the speaking industry, and the Dale Carnegie course is a great course. The Dale Carnegie course teaches, tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you told them. Have you ever heard that before?
I have.
Yes, okay. Here's how I train speakers. Never let what you want to say get in the way of what the audience needs to hear.
Mm.
So
powerful.
There's a different conversation that I have to entrepreneurs versus the conversation that I have when I'm speaking to a corporation. I send them a needs assessment. I don't come in thinking that I know what they need. And my favorite book says, in all thy getting, get understanding. If I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, then I'm giving you a presentation from my point of view. But if I take the time to conduct communications intelligence and find out what keeps you up at night, what's stressing you out, what is it you want to do to motivate your employees, what is it that you need to do to increase your sales or improve the morale of the customer service, I want to spend time understanding you, understanding your culture, understand the things that you're dealing with, and then I craft my speech, my presentation, to create an experience that will change the way you think, change how you feel, and inspire you to become, as Mother Teresa would say, to become a pencil in the hand of God and start writing a new chapter in your business life. Oh, help me somebody. Well, my medication wear off.
Awesome.
I tickled myself. I'm so sorry. Oh, behave.
No, that's
okay.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, I could go for 3 hours, man. Don't ever apologize for talking too much on one of my calls. It's awesome. Hey, it was once told to me that your network creates your net worth. You know, one of my earlier mentors in life brought that to my attention, and it really, with simplified terms, said, be very careful who you hang around. Be very careful who you let into your mind. And can you speak to that, Les, about the people
Absolutely.
That you spend the most time with and what they're doing for you or what they're doing to you, for example?
Yes. MIT did a study. The study indicated you earn within $2,000 to $3,000 of your closest friends. Let me give you a real clear example of how this works. The most money that I've ever earned in an hour and a half, and I thought I was at the top of my game, was $260,000. That's the most money I've ever earned in an hour and a half. And then I went to an event. And several presenters before me did over $1 million.
Wow.
And I said to myself backstage, look here, they put their pants on like I do, one leg at a time. And at that event, I didn't do $1 million that night, but I did $410,000. What changed was the competition, the setting, and the example of other individuals. And what I said to myself If they can do it, I can do it. I believe and I teach what's possible for one is possible for all. Roger Bannister was the first man to break the 3-minute mile. But since he did it, from that time to this time, over 1,000 people did it. What happened? The kind of tennis shoes that people would buy? Absolutely not. When the word went out, the mindset became it's possible, and that it's necessary, and that it's me, and it's hard, but it's worth it. And that's when you, that's a, from a series that I do called Choosing Your Future. The reason that it's very important that we look at our relationships is because people rub off on you. There are two types of relationships. There are nourishing relationships, relationships that inspire you. They hold you accountable. They raise the bar on you. They challenge you. They stretch you. And then there are toxic relationships. There are some people that if you never saw them again, it will be too soon. They're argumentative. They drain you. You can run faster with 100 who want to go than with one around your neck. There's a new term in psychiatry called relational illness. There are people, Sam, that can make you sick. I read a book called Who's the Matter with Me? And what people have got to do, if they're serious about changing their lives, they've got to come out from among them. And you're not looking down on people. You don't believe that you're better than them, but people rub off on you. My mother used to say, Leslie, yes, ma'am, mama, birth of the feather, flock together. If you run around with losers, you will end up a loser. Mr. Washington said, Mr. Brown, yes, sir. Mr. Brown, if you run around with 9 broke people, I guarantee you, young man, you'll become number 10.
That's so true.
So it is very important that people look at their relationships when they look at their goals, and it's very important every year to evaluate their relationships and ask a key question that the late Jim Rohn used to say. Ask the question, what is this relationship doing to me? There's some people you need to let go. Can I change them? Absolutely not. It's a full-time job changing yourself. And there's some people, Sam, that's so negative, they can walk into a dark room and begin to develop. Oh, behave. I'm sorry, Sam. I'll go be good. My medication went off. I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
Okay.
You're being great, man. You're being great. No problem. Hey, I agree 1,000%. I mean, it wasn't until I voluntarily pulled myself out of the rat race and just said, I'm going to network. I mean, I'm going to go find the people I want to emulate. And however that happened, I mean, I filed bankruptcy right after I left my job. So I started, talk about starting from zero. If there's a lower number than zero, that's where I started from, and building the Everyday Saturday movement and the Everyday Saturday brand. But what I found was, once I eliminated those toxic individuals and those toxic thoughts, it became a lot easier. It didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen in an hour. It wasn't something like I dream a genie, you know, or I click my heels together and all of a sudden I'm you know, a superstar. It didn't happen like that at all. I mean, we still got a long way to go. But what did happen was I felt better when I laid my head down on the pillow at night, that I was a different person than I was when I woke up. And I think that's all that you can hope for throughout the course of the day, that you are a better, different, more empowered person when you lay your head down at night than when you woke up that morning. And I think that's just so critical. The people you hang around, there's a reason why I reached out to you, obviously. You know, there's people that I still want to emulate, that I still want to be like. And I'm always learning, man. I don't have all the right answers. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I'm learning because the areas where I will be your mentor and you'll be my mentee. And then there are areas where you will be my mentor and I will be your mentee. Like on the business side, I can take a person's story out. I can help them to extract their story, and I can teach them how to deliver their story. Now, how do I know this? Because I've been doing it. I've won the highest award from the National Speakers Association, the CPAE Award, the highest award from Toastmasters, the Golden Gavel Award. I was selected among the top 5 speakers in the world. So if I can do it, I can teach others how to do it. Now, what I don't know, and all of us have areas where we need to grow, is the business side of it for the Internet. And that's what you know. And so there, you are my mentor, and I'm your mentee. I believe that you're never too old to learn and you're never too young to teach. I'm like the lady who said, Lord, I ain't what I want to be, ain't what I'm going to be, and thank God I sure ain't what I was.
Hey, I'm so happy that I've got this on a recording that I am Les Brown's mentor.
So yes, absolutely.
I've got that recorded. That's awesome.
Yes,
man. That's awesome.
Good. And you could use that.
You bet I will be. Hey, I've got another question that came in. Can you give an example? You don't have to use a name at all, but I think people would love to be motivated, would love to be inspired. There's one or two individuals that have been through your speaker seminar where you literally take people and you show them how to earn money with their own story, with their own intellectual property. Does a story or two kind of stand out of a pupil, a mentee that you've worked with that you look back and say, wow, they're really killing it now, man. They took what I told them to do, and now they're doing it, whether it's on a national stage or an international stage. And if that involves, you know, how much money they've earned, that's great too. But a few people have asked the question, what am I looking at? You know?
Yeah, Willie Jolly, he wrote a book called A Setback is a Setup for a Comeback. And Willie is very strong. He's made billions speaking. He travels around the world. And he's one I'm extremely proud of him and the work that he's doing. There are many who work for various corporations who speak that I've been involved with that have been to my seminars and workshops. Keith Arell, he wrote a book called Attitude is Everything. There are many. I'm training some now. Johnny Wimbrey, he wrote From the Hood to Doing Good, one of the most electrifying speakers I've ever mentored, and they're very, very gifted and has tremendous platform skills. I have a young man who is one of the most powerful speakers on the planet that you're going to hear a great deal about, Mike Jones. Mike Jones, he does a seminar called How to Earn Over $200,000 a Year with Your Eyes Closed. Mike has been blind since he was 10 years old. And when
wow.
I met him, he heard me speak. He caught a train without a cane or a dog by himself. He was so fired up. He came from Philadelphia to Chicago to come to my speaker training. When I met him, he was on Social Security. Now Mike has three restaurants. He's an entrepreneur. He has several other businesses. He has real estate investments. He also has a shopping mall in Philadelphia, and he's doing all this, and he's blind. Okay. I have a young lady named Tawana. Tawana and Pauline Ahi. Now, Pauline Ahi and Tawana, they're very fascinating. Tawana wrote a book called Unarmed But Dangerous. She was born with no arms. And she was earning around $50 an hour. She gets around $7,000 an hour now. And then Pauline Ahi, she's from Hawaii. She came home from Hawaii. I met her. I saw her riding this little device. She doesn't have any arms or any legs, and she controls this device with a toe. And so I saw her at this hotel in Los Angeles, and I said, how do you operate this? And she showed me this device she's riding on, and she was talking on the phone. She has her head to the side. I was just fascinated with her. And so she came back to my training from Hawaii, never traveled by herself, okay? And no arms, no legs. People assisted her to get in a cab, came to the training, and now she's speaking and transforming people's lives, helping people who have physical challenges as well as healthy people. So I've had so many. It's just been incredible, and it's been a great experience. I've worked with Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen. I've done training with them. They've seen my style. Many people in the industry have seen. When I came into the industry, my style is completely different. I teach people how to speak from the heart. Most speakers are scripted. They have a memorized script that they regurgitate. And I think there's some people who need to do that. What I do is teach people that impact drives income. You want people to feel you, and you want to create an experience. Because if information could change people, everybody would be skinny, rich, and happy. You want to create an experience. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because people know if people just bring in the internet for information, they can go on the internet and do that. They don't even have to go to the library. What they want from you is personality. They want passion, and they want you to strategically deliver your story or some story that will create an emotional shift in them. Because the only way you can change people, and that's what I wanted to do, and this is what I train speakers how to do, how to change people's lives. The only way you can do that is you've got to create a significant emotional event, and you can do that strategically in less than an hour. That's what I wanted to do. That's what I master, And that's what I teach people how to do. And when you learn how to do that, you create a demand for yourself, because impact drives income. You get thousands of requests, and your income and what you earn will be far different than people that's just going out there being a happy talking head because they enjoy hearing themselves talk. But if you have a passion for people, like I'm about to do something, Sam, at this stage of my life, I'm 65, and so it's a calling in my life. I'm opening up the Greatness Center, and my goal is to train 10,000 voices of hope, helping people to develop hope and methods on how to change their lives in the new economy. Every time the unemployment goes up 1%, the suicide rate goes up 1.3%. In Chicago, Illinois, over 40 people are shot and killed every month, okay? Now, my goal is starting in Chicago and going to spread across the country as I train other people, is to implement and initiate a program through the Greatness Center that will transform the thinking of the population there, that will expand people's skill set, that will allow them to plug into the economy, because if people don't know how to plug into the economy, they're not going to starve to death. They'll become entrepreneurs without morals, and create an achievement-driven culture so that people would, you know, that will begin to focus on their dreams. More people are concerned about, will LeBron James stay in Cleveland rather than being focused on, can they pay their mortgage note? You know, we have an entertainment-driven culture. More people voted for American Idol than President of the United States. And so that shows you the mindset of most people. The people that's on this phone, they have something special. Rather than looking at television, watching other people live their dreams and listening to CNN, constant negative news, they're focused on their dreams and their potential and how they can use their talents to take their lives to the next level by being exposed to your message and the coaching and the training that you provide. And so thank you for being who you are and making this platform possible.
Hey, it's been my pleasure. We're going to open up the lines in just a minute. If you have a question for Les and you're on the phone, feel free to get that ready. We'll take a few questions here as we approach the top of the hour. I do want to remind everybody to connect with Les, which is going to be July 16th and 17th at the LAX Sheraton. Get out there. I mean, you can do whatever you can do to get out there to connect with Les, to go through his speaker training. It, to me, yeah, it is a speaker training, but it's so much more than that. I mean, if you've gotten
anything
out of the last 45 to 50 minutes, you'll get so much more out of 2 days of being immersed in Les's message. Go to lesbrown.com and just get the information on going to his live event July 16th and 17th. I'll be there, and I'm 100% a huge fan of Les, and just try your best to get out to L.A. I'm going to open up the lines right now. If you are on the line but you don't have a question, just hit star 6. You can mute your line out. If you have a question for Les, the lines are open right now. Go ahead and ask away.
Les, this is Kim. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I make Braille jewelry. And I would love to send a piece to Mike Jones. Is there a way I can get a contact so that I can send
Absolutely. It Email me at yes@lesbrown.com, and I'll get you Mike Jones' information.
Yes@lesbrown.com?
Yes@lesbrown.com. That's my personal email.
Yes@lesbrown.com.
Yes.
Yep. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Who else? Anyone else have a question tonight for Les Brown while we still have him on the line? Okay. If you do have a question for Les, we'll open them back up and at the very end of the call. If you have a question, we'll try one more time right now with the people on the line, then we'll mute them back out and finish up the call. But give us your first name and the question that you have tonight for Les Brown.
My name is Kim again. Les,
hello.
Go ahead.
Go ahead,
Jim. Somebody else out there with a question.
Yep.
Les, how do we get your coaching? What is the process by which we can enroll in one of your programs?
Well, you go to my website, lesbrown.com. The training that we're doing on the 16th and the 17th, it starts at 9 o'clock in the morning on Friday until 9 o'clock at night, and then Saturday from 9 o'clock until 5 o'clock. It's experiential. Mm-hmm. Not only do you get coaching on how to tell your story, and you speak and we videotape you and you get feedback, from me, and I conduct this training. But in addition to that, you will learn strategies on how to use the internet and other technologies to build a national and international brand and attract more people to what it is that you're doing. But you can also, for personal coaching, as some people like me to work, some people like one-on-one coaching, you can email me at yes@lesbrown.com.
All right. Thanks.
The page set up for Les's event, it's I'm on there now. It's lesbrown.com/6figure speaking. lesbrown.com/6figure speaking, the number six. If you want to attend Les's event out in L.A. July 16th to 17th. There was a lady who had a question as well, ma'am.
Yeah, I had one. Who's the oldest person you've trained, and how did you do anything different?
Yes, I mean, she's with me right now, Arlene. I think Arlene is 73 or 74. Age doesn't matter. You forget your years will forget you. I'm 65. I used to think people in their 50s were old. Now I feel like I served at the Lord's Supper. It doesn't matter about your years. No, wait a minute. No. Yes, there is he's not in Sacramento. Arson, he's 75. He's 75. I've also had one speaker who's 83.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yes.
Now, Les, you had mentioned the economy, and I wanted to circle back to that because, you know, we have close to latest figures. It's always hovering around 10% unemployment, 15 million people in our country, in the U.S., that are out of work. I'm sure you get bombarded with a lot of questions. What do I do, Les? How do I gain momentum when my job's been taken away or I lost my job, I've lost my house?
Oh, yes. Push mute so you can block everybody off so I can respond to that. I'm so glad you asked that question.
We got it. I got everybody muted. Go ahead.
Great. Yes. Well, here's what I know. Marion White said, and this is how I view people who have lost their jobs or been laid off. Marion White, and that happened to me. And when I look back, at the time it happened, Sam, I did not know it was a blessing. I had no clue. Had I not been fired, Sam, and I took it badly, I barricaded myself in the control room. I was a disc jockey in Columbus, Ohio. They had to call the Upper Arlington police to come tear the door off the hinges. Okay.
Oh, no.
Yeah, to get me out. Let me share something with you. Because the general manager didn't have the courage to face me and fire me himself. I had given them, I was the first one there, the last one to leave. And they didn't want to pay me what I was worth. All right? Now, having said that, Marion White said, in life, when you don't have enough courage or insight to know that you have outgrown a situation and it's time to move on, life will move on you.
Mm.
Now, to put that in context, when they fired me while I had barricaded myself in the control room, I had no idea that waiting for me 1 year later, I was elected to the Ohio legislature, passed 14 bills my first term, became the chairman of the Human Resource Committee. I was elected to three times. Had they not fired me, I'd have never become a state legislator. Had they not fired me, I'd have never resigned from the Ohio legislature to go back to Miami to take care of my mother, to buy her home, and I started speaking and served on the platform with Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, who wrote The Power of Positive Thinking, which was one of my goals and dreams. Had they not fired me, I'd have never became a motivational speaker and won the highest award from the National Speakers Association, from Toastmasters International, and became one of the top five speakers in the world. Had they not fired me, I'd have never wrote my book, Live Your Dreams, It's Not Over Till You Win, Up Thoughts for Down Times. Had they not fired me, I'd have never been solicited by King World International to do a nationally syndicated talk show 10 years ago, and they paid me $5 million and $2 million not to speak. Had they not fired me, I would have never produced 8 specials for public television and earned over $8 million. Had they not fired me, I would have never earned over $60 million and touched millions of people's lives around the world. And I say that at the time it happened, I was traumatized. I was frightened. I didn't see this stuff in my future. And those people that have been fired, Helen Keller says, when one door closes, another door opens. But most people spend so much time looking at, talking about, and lamenting and complaining about the closed door, they don't see the open door. This is not the end of the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. There's talents, abilities, and skills, and books, and speeches, and leadership, and businesses, and ideas, and gifts in everybody listening. You were chosen one out of 400 million sperm. You have something in you the world needs right now. It needs it right now.
Amen, yes. Brother. Had you not been fired, you would not be on this call with us tonight.
Absolutely.
You know?
And I thank Bert Childs to this day. But at the time, I didn't see that because I had a house note, I had children, I had car note, I had responsibilities. I didn't see it then. But now I'm looking back, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm so grateful because that gave birth to a Les Brown that I didn't know.
That's awesome. It's such a great perspective. And what you talked about, when you're ready to move, life will move on you. Don't wait. Just absolutely do not wait. I remember thinking all the times where my mom, I was the youngest of eight, as I mentioned at the beginning of the call. My mom raised eight of us by herself. My dad is alive someplace. I wouldn't know the guy if he walked here in the room in front of me. But, you know, I always wanted to please my mom and say, look, I did it, man, I did it. And just having a job wasn't good enough. She was semi-proud, you know, I just got a job, things were good, I was self-sufficient. But, you know, she never had an opportunity, she died in 1997, to really see me launch this Every Day is Saturday. She's never had an opportunity in the physical realm to see her three beautiful granddaughters, Madeline, Laura, and Paige. And, you know, it was 13 years ago today, Les, that my mom went to be with the Lord. So
wow, this day. And my mother is fixing sweet potato pie for her today in heaven.
Yeah. So July 7th, 1997. July 7th is a very poignant day for me because it always reminds me every year when it comes around, do not wait. Just don't wait because it is such a temporary state in life. And what you find to be an adversity right now or a challenge right now, losing a job is no small thing. Not being able to make a mortgage payment is no small thing. Going through a bankruptcy. However, don't let that keep you down and do not wait to do the great things that really you are here to do. And, you know, July 7th, and it just happens to be today when we're on this call with you. And I always just sit and reflect the same time every year that I should have launched this thing 20 years ago. You know, I should have went for it, but the timing just wasn't right, you know. But she's looking down from heaven. But I just want to encourage everybody on the call tonight to go for it. Like Les said, just go. Life will move on you when you're ready to move. Awesome stuff, Les.
Seven is my lucky number. I'm one of seven children. My phone number is 702. My zip code is 60607. My social security number is 267. Did I tell you seven is my lucky number? You know, Joshua marched around the walls of Jericho seven times. Naaman dipped himself in the River Jordan seven times. Seven is my lucky number. And I'm so glad that today is the anniversary of your mother crossing over being with my mother. And they're watching us now as we are coming together to change the world.
Laughing it up and just saying, there they are, man, doing great things, great things.
Yes.
So one last time, we're going to wrap up the call. Encourage everybody, go to lesbrown.com. Try to get the Les's event out there in L.A. July 16th and 17th for his speaker training. I am a huge advocate of Les Brown, a huge fan. And those of you that know me know I do. I throw compliments around like manhole covers, okay, for individuals. I do not endorse a lot of people. I do it very, very astutely to make sure that I align myself with the right people. Les is the right people. Go to lesbrown.com. Learn more about him. Watch all the videos on there. Get involved in his motivational teleseminars as well. We're all huge fans, Les, within our Everyday Saturday community, some 60 to 70,000 strong. We love you. We love your message. We love what you're doing out there. What would you like to leave us with? Any parting thoughts for tonight's call, Les, as we wrap it up?
Well, I want to thank you, and I'm looking forward to meeting your daughter. I want to take a picture with her, okay?
Absolutely.
Because
absolutely,
she spoke from her lips to God's ears. And when she spoke, you listened and you were obedient. And as a result of her speaking out of the mouths of babes, the world will be a better place. It will never be the same again. She inspired you to become the person that you are now. and the best is yet to come. And I want to say to everybody that's on this call, everything that I've said, you already know it. It's already in your heart of hearts. And understand and know, if you got a problem man or money can solve, you don't have a problem. You've got greatness within you. Understand and know, no matter how bad it is or how bad it gets, you are going to make it. And I say that from a place of being on my bed and was told I had 2 to 3 years to live. My PSA was 125. PSA stands for prostate-specific androgen. It's over 700 as I speak now. And I'm cancer-free. I'm debt-free. And what's possible for one, it's possible for all. And I'm allowing myself at this stage of my life at 65 to take on another challenge. I'm looking for another mountain. Jim Rohn said, when the end comes for you, let it find you conquering a new mountain, not sliding down an old one. So I say to you, you have greatness within you. I can tell you based upon my own experience, whatever you've done is only a tip of the iceberg of what's possible for you. And I'm looking forward to working with you and continue to be a part of this community with Sam, and understand there's no accident that you're on this call tonight. The best is yet to come. This has been Mrs. Mamie Brown's baby boy and Sam Crawley's Pride and Joy. God bless you. God bless your dream, and God bless America.